The following program, Where Are They Now with Art and Bobby, is sponsored by Arthur Andros and, to the extent applicable, his guests. The views and opinions expressed therein do not necessarily reflect those of NewsWeb Radio Company or its management.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Where Are They Now? Welcome to our show. Good morning, Artie.
Good morning, Bobby. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
What's that stuff in front of you?
Oh,
that's the stuff we're going to talk about.
Surprise.
Well, let's get going. Don't forget, you can reach us today at 773-763-9278. Call us again, 773-763-9278. We have a very, very interesting guest, and she sent some goodies here. So here we go. I'm going to read a couple of her quotes. Where food and politics work and play together, is there any dish that can't be twisted politically? Oh, we got the bromance Bloody Mary for the 45th president.
Wow.
And...
No, the bromance Bloody Mary is for the loser.
Oh, for the loser.
Oh, the loser, okay.
Well, that's the loser. Well, okay. And we have the new recipe today, Joe Biden's butter cookies. Congratulations to the 46th president. Remember, Bobby, we broke the news on our show.
I remember.
That he, so we're breaking news again today because we got this wonderful cookies and, oh, my God. All right, about our guest. An occupation food and nutrition consultant from Chicago, United States licensed dietitian, nutritionist, foodie, recipe developer. She is a, I got to find out what these all are, MS, RD, LDN when we ask her, interested in food, politics, sports, nutrition, science. Her kitchencaucus.com, where her two cookbooks are out, and we're going to be talking about her new cookbook today. And yes, I'm going to say happy birthday to Elvis, and there's a tie to Elvis's birthday. And our guest, Lisa Marie Brandon, welcome.
Welcome, Lisa.
Hi, I'm so happy to be here.
Well, we're happy to have you.
So tell everybody you're not Lisa Marie Presley, but why are you named Lisa Marie?
Probably because I was born in 1961, and that was when Elvis was very popular. And, you know, my mother doesn't have a great imagination, so she probably just named me Lisa Marie after, because it was popular.
Ah, well, tell her thank you very much from us, because without having you and naming you, we'd have all these goodies, and we're going to go over everything. But before you talk about your recipes and your Bloody Mary here, which I think we've had a couple, huh, Bobby?
Yeah, don't say it.
Oh, yeah.
Don't say it.
The virtual Bloody Marys. Virtual. Tell us where you grew up, where you were born, where you went to school, and then we'll start talking about all the goodies.
Okay, well, I grew up in Chicago. My father was a Chicago police officer, and we grew up on the northwest side over in Gladstone Park, and then... from there, I have lived all over the city of Chicago. I moved into my first apartment when I was 19. I was over by North and Austin. And then I started moving slowly back toward the north, closer northwest side. So I was in Belmont Cragen. I was in Jefferson Park. I was in Portage Park for about 6 years. And then I ended up in Lakeview for about 4 years. Saugatash for 14 years. I spent 5 dreaded years in the suburbs. And then I came back to Chicago, and now I'm living in the Dunning neighborhood.
Well, we're glad you're back to Chicago, and we're glad that you have all this wonderful stuff. You want to go right into your two recipes you have here for us? One for the loser?
I would love to do that.
Go ahead, talk about the loser, but this is a great drink. I know I want to thank him for losing, but what a great drink, huh?
Well, I have the loser drink for, because I think, even though we're joking around here, a lot of people were very disappointed in the outcome of this election, and we can't forget about them. You know, Joe Biden has this whole togetherness, you know, that he's talking about, but we really need to be kind to the 70 million people that did vote for Donald Trump. I wasn't one of them. I'm just going to say that, and I've always been a liberal. But I also like what Bill Maher said last night on his show. He said, you know, we might not like Donald Trump, but we can't hate everybody else who likes him. So the bromance Bloody Marys, it's just a homemade Bloody Mary recipe. And I agree. I think what makes it so good is that it's got a lot of fresh lemon juice in it, and it does not contain Worcestershire sauce, which I hate. So I did throw a little bit of celery salt in there to give it a little bit more of the celery flavor, which is not in my cookbook, but that's something that I'm just sharing with you online. So,
do you want to go ahead and tell everybody what's in it? Because, you know, we are radio, but we are on Facebook. And cheers, Bobby, to
yeah,
our,
salute.
You know. Absolute.
Salute.
But it's virtual.
it's quite good, I have to say.
It's really water in our glasses, right, Bobby? We don't drink in the studio. But go ahead.
The recipe is 6 cups of tomato juice, 1.5 cups of vodka, 2/3 cup of freshly squeezed lemon juice. So you might need 3 or 4 lemons to get that much juice. 1 tablespoon of prepared horseradish. And then 1/2 to 1 teaspoon of salt, but I use celery salt because I think that gives it a little bit more flavor. 1/2 teaspoon of ground black pepper, 1/4 teaspoon of ground red pepper. So that's what makes it spicy.
Wow.
1.5 teaspoons of hot sauce or to taste. So I put a little bit of extra hot sauce in there. So I used a whole tablespoon of Frank's Red Hot Sauce because I like the flavor of Frank's. And then your garnishes are going to be celery, fresh lemon juices, and wedges and olives. And what I did is I actually rimmed my glass with the fresh lemon juice, and then I dipped it in the celery salt, kind of like I was making a margarita.
Wow, that's exactly what you did.
Wow.
Wow,
yeah.
You're good.
Right. And then I filled the glass with ice, and I poured the bloodies over it, and then I put the garnishes in there, and it just will, it's a great drink. It's great when you go into a tailgate party. It's a great morning beverage, like on Thanksgiving morning, and you're getting ready to watch the football game. That's what I drink.
So well, it's always good to have a Bloody Mary, especially this one.
Yeah, and maybe you can email this to the Bears. They lost 2, huh?
So don't mention Chicago Bears.
I am a diehard Bears fan. I go to a lot of games with my friend Tracy Sherva, who she's had tickets for years. They're from her dad, who had them all of his life, and so she and I will sit there, and we always go to the Minnesota game when we can. We were actually at the game in 2006 before they went to the Super Bowl, and it was like being in a snow globe when all the snow was coming down. It was fantastic. So,
wow.
Yeah.
The best game I ever went to is Walter Payton's last game. It was so cold. And my buddy didn't want to go, so he gave me the tickets. And I sat there and watched Walter Payton cry like a baby at the bench after he finished at the old Soldiers Field.
Wow.
What a touching thing. But, yeah, it's so much fun to go to the Bears game.
What's the worst game you ever went to?
Oh, I had a friend of mine. He says, my boss gave me the best seats. We were in the last row. We were in the Bob Uecker seats. Honestly, I don't even remember the team because I said, let's go. It was in the last row. Mm. I was like, what is this? You know, thank God it wasn't cold.
I've been in those seats too. But I think my worst game was the Halloween game when they played the Packers and Brett Favre just annihilated us. And it was raining sleet, and nobody in that, I don't care what you were wearing, unless you were wearing a plastic bag all through the game, you got wet, and it was wet and cold and miserable.
Damn.
Yep. 92 or 93, but anyway.
Before we go into your Joe Biden, President Biden's cookies, we have somebody on the phone already who wants to talk about your cookbook. I don't see a name there. Welcome, caller. Oh.
Hello?
Hi, can you turn down your radio or your computer?
Yeah. Yes.
Thank you. Let's see. Who is on here?
Talk about your cookbook.
Good morning, caller.
Welcome, caller.
Can we have your name, please?
Hi, this is Joy.
Hi, Joyce. Welcome.
Hi. I bought 24 copies of Lisa's cookbook and sent it to all of my relatives, and they loved it, laughed hysterically. So I have a couple questions. First, how did you, how could you come up with all these funny titles and jokes? Because the taglines are even more funny than the titles of all the
right.
recipes.
Yep. Let me pick one here, but, you know, we're on family radio. Let's see.
Right.
Here's one. Social Security spinach dip. We can say that.
Oh, come on. They're not all that bad.
No, they're not.
They're very creative.
They're very creative.
Bleeding heart beef sandwiches.
There you go. Anti bailout, anti pasta platters. No, you know.
But there's a tagline after each one.
Right.
And those are even more funny than, and just as funny as the titles. So how did she come up with that? She's a chef and a dietitian. How does somebody like that come up like a comedy writer? You know what I mean?
Lisa? So
I've always thought of myself as a very creative person. But I do have to give some credit to one of my friends who helped me with some of the lines underneath the recipes, because she's extremely clever and funny, too. That's my friend Margaret Nagel. And she helped me with some of those little things, and I don't want to take full credit because she did help me. But I was doing this. I was doing these recipes back in 2012 because I started my blog when I was helping Barack Obama become the senator, which was actually even before that. So I was starting the blog, and I thought, well, why can't you connect politics with food? Because I was already working as a food person in the test kitchens at Kraft. And I thought, why can't we do something funny with food? So I came up with a few great ideas. And then my friend Margaret was like, well, why don't you say this about that? You know, and so I had a little bit of help.
So are the left and the right equally funny? Are there enough things to make fun of both sides?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Like, you know, you brought up the Social Security spinach dip. You know, Social Security is something I believe in very much. And I think that's something that we need to fight for. So I thought it was worth bringing up. And then, like, for example, one of my last recipes in the book, it's called Dog Whistle Donut Trifle.
All right. Let's go there. Hang on here.
What page is that on?
Like the second to the last page.
Okay.
Okay.
Got it.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's in the dessert section, so it's on page 28.
For you following along, we're on page 28, but you'll have to tell everybody how to get this cookbook after you tell us about this one. Go ahead.
I will. The dog whistle donut trifle is a recipe that I was working on when I was employed by Kraft. But they just did not like this idea. First of all, I wasn't planning on calling it dog whistle donut trifle. I was calling it a donut trifle. And they didn't like it because they thought it looked too unhealthy.
Mm.
So they denied me they said, no, we're not going to use this in any of our communications. So I thought, well, that's fair game. But I love this recipe because it tastes so good. I made it actually, I think for Thanksgiving, and my kids, they were like scooping it into big bowls. I hope one of them calls in. Actually,
awesome.
He's probably, one of your boys is still licking the whisk there. You probably made some of this last night. They're like, Ma's out on the phone. We're having some of that dessert for breakfast.
Oh, my God. It's so good and it's so easy because it uses these, like, you know, really very much available products. You can buy your instant vanilla pudding and your whipped toppings. You can buy those things at Aldi, and you can get your donuts anywhere. And you just
Lisa, let me interrupt you. It says 8 donuts. Is that so the cook can have the other 4 when you buy the dozen?
That's a good one, Artie.
Yeah, but anyway, but this is just a, you know, you just layer the pudding and the, you mix the whipped topping into the pudding, and then you layer that with the donuts. And it is so, and you put some fresh berries in there, which is like perfect for Easter. You know, and then you don't feel like you're doing anything bad. So, but it's really delicious. And, I say when you're having dessert, you're not really worrying about how healthy the dessert's going to be. You just try to eat a smaller portion.
Yeah, and I can see these aren't Greek recipes because you're missing a Roditi's bottle of wine with every recipe because you have to have a shot of that while you're cooking as a chef, that's all. But go ahead, it's just a joke.
We just go to the other, we have lots of recipes that are made with booze in this cookbook at the end. And most of my drink recipes start with...
Bobby, slow down. You don't have to go that fast to the back.
Artie, you know I like the drinks.
Oh, you got one here. The old presidential candidates fashioned.
Yes, because we had a couple of oldies this year.
And
a lot of people were talking about that.
So. Your tagline, the popular cocktail that is older than the candidates themselves. So I understand.
Through that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah, but that's one of the few that is just, you know, like a single serve recipe. But most of my, like if you go back a couple pages, we've got the mojitos, we've got Cosmos.
Wow, you got everything in here.
The marriage mojitos. Let's see. We've heard about these bromance Bloody Marys, and we're going to have them someday, huh, Bobby?
Yeah. Definitely.
Let's take a look at the recipe, Long Island Iced Tea Party Punch. So this is something
Page 30. Go ahead.
And it calls for 4 bottles of booze.
Wow.
1 bottle each of vodka, gin, white rum, and white tequila.
Devin, do you hear that, Devin? 4 bottles of booze? Have you ever made a drink like that with your friends? No. Go ahead.
Okay. And then you add, I forgot, 1.5 cups of triple sec. And then to that, you're going to be adding a lot of things that aren't boozy, like 1/4 of chilled lemon lime soda, in other words, 7-Up, 1/4 of chilled Coke, 4 cups of freshly squeezed lemon juice. As you can see, I really believe in fresh juices like lemon juice and lime juice for my drinks. It really makes them better. You can't buy the stuff that comes in the bottle. And then you got the triple sec, and then you just mix all that stuff together. You put it in a punch bowl, and you put out your little punch glasses, and you watch your party get drunk.
Ah,
wow.
And you should in the future put a little something, and I grew up in an era where it's called munchies after you had a few drinks. So yeah. What munchie or other recipe would be good with the Long Island Iced Tea Party Punch recommend?
That's a good idea.
In the beginning of the book, I have all of my appetizers. So, one of the reasons I did this cookbook is because I was supporting Barack Obama for president in 2008 and also for Senate in 2004. And when I was doing this, because they did all this grassroots stuff, and the first recipe in the book is the grassroots goat cheese and garlic spread. And that was the talk then. It was like, oh my God, all of these small donations. I was one of those small donors. I would have people come to my house, and Barack Obama used to do this thing where whoever was doing his political campaign at that time, probably Axelrod, was telling, you know, was we were telling people, okay, have a bunch of people come over to your house and make these donations, and, you know, you have a party. So I would have people come over, and I would do, so I would make I would do my Blue Cosmos, and I would have a, you know, a bucket of beer, and then I would make these recipes. So I had the grassroots goat cheese and garlic spread. I would do the public school pico de gallo. I would do the tolerance tomato bruschetta, and the working family's beer cheese dip. The same sex shrimp dip. And I'd have all these recipes at my parties. So I, you know, and I'd put little things in front of them that showed what they were called, and people would laugh about it. And I thought, well, I should probably do a cookbook. So, you know, that was before I did the cookbook, I did the blog. So, but that's kind of where it started. So these are all munchies.
We still have a girl.
Yo, the caller's still on there. You're still enjoying this. Do you have any more questions for Lisa?
Yes, I have one more question.
Okay.
If you do another cookbook, will it also be political? I'm kind of hoping it will.
I'm always following politics. This is what I'm excited about. And then I could, you know, continue to use my Kitchen Caucus blog. I think all my cookbooks are going to be political in nature.
Yeah, and stay tuned. In about a minute or so, she's going to be going over the Joe Biden's butter cookies that we've had already.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God, are these delicious. You know, maybe we have her make some of these and we sell those, Bobby, and we donate the money to a food pantry. What do you think?
Excellent idea.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Joyce, thanks for calling in.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Lisa, tell us about Joe Biden's butter cookies. And while you're telling it, I'm going to reach over and grab one, and I'm not going to nibble with the microphone on, so go right ahead.
Okay. Well, Joe Biden's butter cookies, that's in my cookbook, and it's called Red, White, and Blue Butter Cookies. And I love this recipe. This is like my signature Christmas cookie recipe. It's my sweaty balls of all of my cookie recipes because I give out these boxes. And it's so delicious because it's so tender and people can't wait to get their mouths around them. So, but that's my signature.
We're delicious. Oh, I'm sorry about that. I'm not supposed to do that in the air.
I'm trying to follow the rules here.
You're doing great. Go ahead and tell us the recipe now. So everybody, take your time. And if you don't get the whole recipe, you'll later on, Lisa will give you her webpage, or you can email Bobby at 8:20 a.m. or myself, Art, at 8:20 a.m. And we'll ask Lisa if it's okay to send you one of the recipes. But go ahead and tell us about Joe Biden butter cookies.
Okay, so Joe Biden butter cookies, they are made with 2 sticks of butter that are softened, 1/2 cup sugar, plus you're going to need a little bit more for flattening the cookies, 1/2 teaspoon of almond extract, 2 cups of all-purpose flour, and 1/2 teaspoon of salt. And then there's a glaze that goes on top of them, and that's 1 cup of powdered sugar, 2 tablespoons of milk, and red and blue sprinkles. And you can use whatever color sprinkles that suits the occasion, because I make these cookies for any occasion. In fact, I served them at my parents' 50th wedding anniversary with gold sprinkles. So it's just a wonderful recipe. And basically what you do is you get your oven heated up to 375, and you beat together your butter, sugar, and almond extract until they're light and fluffy. Then you add your flour and salt, and you beat that until it's really well combined. It will, you know, kind of all, you know, come together in a ball. And then you're going to roll that into 1-inch balls. And what I do to make it a little easier is I use one of those cookie scoops that they sell. I think the Pampers Chef sells them, and it makes like a 1 tablespoon scoop. Yeah. So you roll them into balls, and you put them on an ungreased baking sheet, And then you bake them for 10 to 12 minutes or until the bottom and edges are brown. That's, you know, you really need to brown them so that you get that flavor of the browned butter in the cookie. And then you you wait about a minute, and then you transfer them off the baking sheet. You let them cool completely. And while the cookies are baking, you're mixing together your powdered sugar and your milk, which is going to be your glaze. And then you bake. I use like a kitchen brush, and I brush the glaze on top of the cookies. I do 4 or 5 cookies at a time because the glaze hardens quickly. And then after I brush the glaze on, I put my sprinkles on.
Wow.
Hardens in about 5 or 10 minutes, and then you can basically stack them in a cookie box or put them on a platter. And people really, really love this recipe. So.
And it sounds like this is good for being stuck in the house. I kept hearing you say, beat this, beat that. So it gets that energy out of you. You're stuck in the house because of the COVID, huh?
Oh, yeah.
We got a caller.
Delicious cookies.
Good morning, caller. Who do we have on the phone?
Good morning, caller. Your name, please?
Liz.
I'm Liz.
Hi, Liz. Welcome.
Welcome to our show.
Hi.
What do you have? What are you doing today, young lady? How was your Saturday morning? Are you enjoying the Bloody Mary recipe and the butter cookies?
Well, not yet, but I plan to make them.
Oh, great.
Excellent. What question do you have for Lisa?
Yeah, I had a question on the Joe Biden cookies, which is there a way to substitute ingredients to make it gluten-free?
Oh, good question.
Good question.
That's a great question. And actually, if you want to go gluten-free, you can use that gluten-free flour blend. I think they sell one at Aldi. They sell one at Costco. And they will work. I think they're better with regular flour, but there's always a way to make something gluten-free, always. And, you know, you can, in fact, if you do that, I would love it if you would post that on my blog so I know how they came
that's
out. And I'm going to try that myself. So,
okay, great.
I have a good friend that has to be gluten-free, so.
Lisa, we got one of our listeners sending a comment. It's a funny comment. Sugar, salt, and glazed butter sounds like a recipe for early death. Please do not give any to Biden. So thank you, Wayne.
comment well taken, especially you were asking earlier about my credentials.
Please tell me about all those. Wait a second. Hang on. Let me get this in front of me. It says... MS. Tell me what MS stands for.
That's a Master's of Science in Nutrition Science.
Okay. RD.
Registered Dietitian.
LDN.
Licensed Dietitian. That means I'm licensed in the state of Illinois.
You know, Bobby, should talk to her off the air and maybe get us a little diet.
Yeah,
I could lose about 10 pounds. You know?
Excellent, Lisa. So you work for the Kraft Foods too, right?
I used to many years ago.
Wow.
But I wasn't really in the nutrition department. I was working in the test kitchen where I was doing creative work, recipes that were going on their website and their cookbooks and their magazines, I mean. So
excellent.
What was the most craziest recipe you presented to them and they said, are you crazy?
I'm not going there.
But come on. One. Just give us one here.
No, we already talked about the trifle. The trifle, they just thought that was, they're like, you want Kraft Foods to put out a recipe for a donut trifle? Aren't our products already unhealthy enough? You know, so they always tried to match their products with foods that were healthier. You know, and you know, I also they would actually ask me to work on a lot of recipes that were going to be promoted as a little bit healthier. So, like, for example, if I was doing a sandwich with Oscar Mayer lunch meat, I would have to really be careful about what type of bread I use to make sure that I paired it with vegetables and not to use too many of the condiments like the mayonnaise and the Dijon mustard and things like that. So, you know, they always tried to do you know, more healthy justice to their recipe.
Yeah, years ago, they didn't pay attention to the diets much. But now everybody's all diet conscious and, you know, with the fat and everything like that. That macaroni and cheese is one of Kraft's biggest productions.
Yeah. And even that, you know, they'd want me to put fresh vegetables on top of it, you know, like put some diced tomato on top and maybe some you know, chopped green onion. Mm-hmm. That gives you the impression that you're making something that's a little bit healthier. And
Lisa, to interrupt you, we got another caller before we go to commercial. So, caller, good morning. Who we have on the phone?
Anita.
Hello?
Hi, Anita.
Good morning, Anita. Welcome to Where Are They Now?
Good morning. Yes, I wanted to ask Lisa a question.
Hi, Anita.
Hi, Lisa. Yeah, this is Anita from Club, from the guest.
Oh, hi. How are you?
Fine. I just tuned in late, and I just want to say I'm enjoying everything so much in your recipes, and I was wondering if the butter cookie recipes and all those recipes are in your book.
They are.
They are. Oh, wonderful. I'm going to get a copy.
Lisa, tell them where she, tell her, Annette, where she can get your book and all our other listeners.
I am. Okay, so if you go to my website, it is www.kitchencaucus.com, and I'll spell that for you. You know how to spell kitchen, I hope. C-A-U-C-U-S. So kitchencaucus.com, one word. And when you get to my website, you'll see it right on the front page. Purchase your cookbook here. So you click for ordering details, and you'll get a form that you'll have to fill out so I know where to send the cookbook. And then if you submit the form, then there's another button to click that will take you to PayPal so you can pay me.
Okay, sounds very good. I just wanted to say that those cookies sound very good. I'm going to whip up a batch today, and I'll put on a fresh pot of coffee, and I'll think of you and enjoy them, Alan and I. So thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you. And if you ever want to drop off any goodies, we'll give you, call Devin back, and he'll give you the address here.
Hey, Lisa, how much are those cookbooks? So our listeners know, how much does a cookbook cost?
Very good point. The cookbooks are $15 if you want one. But if you buy more, you save a little money. So if you buy three, it's $40 instead of $45. And if you buy six, that's the best deal, it is $75. So you save about $15 by buying six. And if you need more than six, additional copies are only $12.50 each.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Listeners, this would be a great Valentine present to give your loved one or your friends. Lisa's cookbook.
It would be a great gift to give somebody who has a different political mindset than you do, because it's like, you know, handing over the olive branch. It's like, you know what? I'm not going to fight with you. I just want to be friends, and here's a cookbook to prove it, and they will have some recipes that appeal to them.
Mm-hmm. That is excellent. I do have a question. Mayonnaise? Yeah. Or Miracle Whip in these recipes? What do you think about that?
Well, my preference is mayonnaise.
Okay. Any particular reason why?
I just like it better.
Okay. It's not a health...
but actually, Miracle Whip is healthier.
Ah, okay.
Well, that's good to know.
All right. Before we go to some more callers, we got commercials, and we'll be right back. Lisa, grab some water, or you probably have the real Bloody Marys over there, and we'll be right back.
Oh, come on. I gave the real one to you, too.
Oh, we don't drink them on the air. Go ahead, Devin.
Abbott Painting. Why should I work with Abbott Painting? We're the painting contractor that cares. We care about you, your property, and our reputation. We work hard to please all of our customers by providing quality work and professional service. All of our painters are well-trained professionals who take pride in their work. Our residential crew treats your home like it's their own. They cover the furniture and floors with drop cloths and contain the dust and odor by hanging plastic sheets. To contact us, you can reach us at 773-725-9800 or our website, which is www.abbottpainting.com. Thank you.
Teach your students the joys of science with DeNoyer Geppert. We're the USA's leading manufacturer of anatomical models for education, with a number of our products on display at the Made in Chicago Museum. From autographed anatomy to zoology models, we have something for all ages. Place an order online today at DeNoyer.com.
FlyGuard, 36,000 feet, not the place you wish to be prepared. Your safety is our priority. It's protective apparel for flying in aircrafts. Please reach us at fly-guard.com. Thank you.
You want to feel secure, a sense of trust that will endure. Jennings Reputation rides with you.
Welcome to JenningsChevrolet.com. Jennings Chevrolet in Glenview is a family-owned business that's been serving Chicagoland since 1958. How has Jennings remained in business while so many of our competitors faded away? The simple reason is that Jennings delivers the low prices plus the quality sales and service experience that other dealers only promise. Every dealership pays the exact same amount to the factory for a new Chevy, but some dealers advertise phony low prices online just to lure you in. At JenningsChevrolet.com, every buyer qualifies for our lowest advertised price. The low price you see is the low price you pay. Jennings has one of the area's largest inventories of new Chevrolets and quality pre-owned vehicles. If you can't find what you're searching for, we'll get it through our express locator system. Thank you for visiting JenningsChevrolet.com.
Jennings Reputation.
Okay, welcome back, callers. A couple of announcements. Windy City Suites, 3308 North Broadway. Handmade chocolates, fudge, gourmet baskets. Valentine's Day is coming up, and they have beautiful heart-shaped containers with magnificent, delicious chocolates. They're at 3308 North Broadway, phone number 773-477-6100, or you can order online at windycitysuites.com. Also, Francesca's North, up in Northbrook, 1145 Church Street. John's the manager, outstanding Italian cuisine. They have a heated tent. When you go there, please ask for John. He'll take care of you. And I want to welcome back Lisa Marie Brandt. We got a couple callers on the line standing by. Welcome back.
Welcome back, Lisa. Caller, good morning.
Caller, is that
Ellen?
Yes.
Good morning, Ellen. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi, Ellen.
Hi, Lisa. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I'm good. This is Ellen Hall. So I wanted to ask you, I'm having so much fun. What?
Ellen and I went to high school together.
Excellent.
Excellent. Well, welcome.
Hi. Lisa, I'm having so much fun reading your book. It's just funny little anecdotes in there. And then I love the tips. I was wondering, I haven't made a lot of these because obviously not entertaining a whole lot these days. But is there a grocery list? You know, a lot of these are staples that you normally have in your house, but then some other things are kind of, what you wouldn't have. It's good to have on hand to throw something together if you were to have an unexpected guest or something to whip up, because these seem like very easy, quick things to make.
Yes, that's true. And in fact, I wanted to talk about one of my other recipes that's one of the conservative recipes, because this is like my go-to party dip, and it's called Very Conservative Vidalia Onion Spread, because all you need is light mayonnaise, onions, and Swiss cheese. You throw those things together, you spread them in a pie plate. It's kind of like how a lot of people make the artichoke and spinach dip. Well, this is an onion dip. And just so easy to make, and it's so easy to bring somewhere. And it bakes, and it's delicious, and people love it. So I really did try to stick to on-hand ingredients. That was something that, again, I learned that while I was working at Kraft, because people don't want to have to run out and buy stuff, especially when the weather's bad, like it is here in Chicago. Another great recipe that's in the dinner ideas, I have a marinade for a recipe called spicy deregulated drumsticks. And I use this marinade for everything. Like when you go to Costco and you buy a giant package of meat, you can actually take, it depends on how many people you're feeding, but if you're feeding two or three people, you put two or three chicken breasts or a small skirt steak. That's a nod to you, Art Andros, because I know you're Greek and Greeks love the skirt steak. As do Mexicans.
And lamb chops if you're buying, but go ahead.
you could put any meat in this marinade and just, put it in a Ziploc bag, throw it in your freezer, and then when you want to make it, you take it out the night before and you let it marinate as it thaws. And then you've got something really delicious to make for dinner that you didn't have to make that day. So that's a little tip for me. And thank you, Ellen, for calling me out.
Thank you, Ellen.
I do like the lead tip.
All right. We have another caller, Bobby. All these young ladies are calling you and I today. No, they're really calling Lisa, but that's okay. I think we got 10 in a row. Good morning, Jill. Welcome. Jill?
Hello.
Hey, good morning.
Yes,
welcome.
Hi.
Where are they now?
Welcome.
Thanks. I was wondering, on page 34, the marriage mojitos, it calls for a cup of sugar. And I was wondering, would it hold up if you used a sugar substitute?
Great question.
It absolutely would, because drinks are very, very easy to make with sugar substitutes. You would just have to, or I can figure out how much sugar substitute to add. But if you add, if you follow the directions on the package, depending on what you're looking at, whether it's Splenda or Stevia, you just kind of go by what they say. And I always start with a little less than what they say, because sometimes sugar substitutes have after flavors. So I personally, and I have type 1 diabetes, so, I make these drinks, but I have to take insulin when I drink them, or I will usually substitute half of the sugar for half sugar substitute. So that would be my advice to you.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for calling in.
And we'll talk to you soon. Next caller, we have Cindy. Good morning, Cindy. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great today. I've got some virtual Bloody Marys here. we're not supposed to be drinking a thing. Butter cookies. Do you have someone for us to lay down, Devin, later maybe? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So I wanted to ask Lisa, first off, I missed how much flour for the Joe Biden butter cookies, because I really want to make these. And does she prefer to use salted butter or unsalted butter?
Okay, that's a great question.
Good question.
I use 2 cups of butter. I'm sorry, 2 cups of flour. Don't anybody make this with 2 cups of butter. It won't work. It's 2 sticks of butter, but it's 2 cups of flour. And I prefer to use unsalted butter, and that's why I add salt to the recipe. I want to know how much salt that I'm adding to my baked goods, especially with baked goods.
So typically, because you're you have a master's of science. So what's the rule of thumb for unsalted butter versus salted butter in baking? Is it typical that you just always use unsalted because there's always salt in a baking recipe?
I think you follow the recipe, because some recipes don't call for salt. And if they don't call for salt and they don't tell you what kind of butter to use, if you have salted butter on hand, it won't hurt anything. I personally believe that you need a little bit of salt with your baked goods, or else they taste flat. So If the recipe doesn't call for salt, you can throw your salted butter in there. It won't hurt anything.
Salt's important. Do you want more?
Yeah.
No, I'm okay.
No. It's not good for people that have heart disease. It's not good for people with diabetes. You know, let me just say that. When you're talking about the flavor of something that you're cooking, that's my rule of thumb. So I hope that answers your question. If I was evasive at all or didn't answer it, let me know.
I think we lost her, but that's okay. I think we got another caller coming in, but I got a question now. You say all-purpose flour. God bless my soul, my ma. She had one particular brand. Do you have a particular brand?
No.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. That's my opinion. And
No, that's okay, because she had a certain brand for her cookies, and I'm not even telling you, because, you know, these are special Greek cookies that we can't share that recipe, Bobby.
Nice.
But why don't you tell everybody again your webpage, how to get the cookbook, how much it goes for, because, boy, we're having so much fun. Time is flying. So go right ahead.
Okay. Yeah, my webpage is www.kitchencaucus.com, and that's spelled kitchen, C-A-U-C-U-S. And that's a nod to the politics. That's one word, kitchencaucus.com. And the cookbooks are $15 each. And if you buy more, you save more. So $40 for three, $75 for six. And if you buy more than six, God bless you, additional copies are only $12.50 each.
Excellent.
Perfect, Lisa.
And I know in the book that I got, my wife bought, you also had How to Host a 10 Family Holiday Gatherings During the COVID-19 Pandemic. You want to touch a little bit about those points?
I do. Actually, I'm so glad you brought that up. So, every cookbook.
That's why Bobby and I get the big bucks, Lisa. Thank you.
Obviously.
Thank you.
Every cookbook has two pages about COVID family gatherings. And it is basically, these are basically things that are from the CDC. My friend Joy, her sister Jill actually compiled this for me so that I would be able, because people are really concerned about this right now.
Of course.
You know, for example, when I hosted Thanksgiving with my two children and one of their girlfriends and my mother, who is 86 years old.
Go ahead and have a shout out to Mom. She's probably listening.
Hi, Mom.
Here you go.
Yeah.
Hi, Mom. What's Mom's name?
My mom's name is Marilyn.
Hi, Marilyn.
Hi, Marilyn.
You did a great job with Lisa.
Oh, you guys are so sweet.
Well, we're only telling you the truth.
We're telling you the truth. And we'll send you a recording of this so you can have her listen to it over and over and over. Sorry, I'm putting some ice in my water. Keep going.
Okay. Yeah, we call her Mare. And so this is a list of Facebook CDC comments about how to host. So when I did Thanksgiving, I had all the foods in one section, and I fed people. I scooped the food on their plate, so I was the only one, you know, touching the food. And then that's just one thing. There's a lot of others. And then there's even some information about people that should not attend holiday celebrations, like people who obviously have or have been exposed to COVID or have symptoms or may have been exposed to someone, or people that are at risk of severe illness. So people who have comorbidities that have been identified, like people with heart disease, people with diabetes, you know, people like me, I guess, you know, but I felt like I was safe with my own family, and they are in my little pod of people that I see often. So, but I was also careful with them. And then information about how to serve the food and beverages, how to stay safe during the holidays, and how to stay healthy throughout the pandemic. So there are just lots and lots of good tips in this two-pager
that is, you know, copied on both sides so we can save a little paper. And I think you'll be happy that you got this, whether or not you had to deal with COVID in your life or not. So we're all dealing with
it. Yeah. I think when you're sitting inside that house, you make some Bloody Marys and definitely the Joe Biden butter cookies, and you will be happy, huh?
You'll be golden. Yeah,
I don't know.
I don't even think.
Can you move the next group to another studio? Because, you know, we're enjoying ourselves here, Devin.
That's so funny.
Let's see. I did have one question here. What did I do with it? We talked about the culvert and all the good stuff. Bobby, do you have anything for Lisa while I look up my one question I had here? Flipping through the pages.
I can talk about some of my favorite recipes in here.
Oh, I know what the question is before I interrupt. You have this wonderful cookbook, but it doesn't have calories and all that. Are you thinking the next one to add some of that to your next cookbook?
Good question, Artie.
If that's something that people really want, but, you know, this cookbook was not really developed with a nod to nutrition. It was more a nod to comedy. And as Bobby, who is a comedian, would understand, that's...
Thank you.
I don't want to muddle the waters too much.
So, suggestion, maybe in the front of the book is really, really great, everybody, the cookbook, because you have... here, I'm going to flip to it real quick. You have appetizers, then you have red meat, white sangria, blue cosmos, you know, in the different colors. Maybe below you put, like, some funny stuff about calories and sugar content and salt just for the book. Just a suggestion.
That's a good idea because people have been calling in and asking about things like that. If you're gluten-free, try this. If you can't eat salt, blah, blah, blah. So I could definitely do something like that, just like a tip sheet.
Yeah, or butter cookies. Get on the treadmill for an extra hour or something. You know, something funny.
That's a good one, Artie, treadmill.
Put yourself away from the table, you know?
Yeah. Maybe I can take the clothes off of my treadmill. The shirts look really nice on there, Bobby. How about your treadmill? Are you using it at all?
Come on, Artie.
That's so funny. I use mine when I do laundry. I hang up all my clothes there. And that's
see that? I don't think we're the only ones.
Okay, so one other thing I want to bring up is on page 27, I have a recipe called Never Tell a Lie Cherry Pie.
Oh, ooh. I saw that.
Okay.
Yes, this is a recipe that is made with my award-winning pie crust because in 2008, I won the Bucktown Apple Pie Contest. I took first place.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you. One of the judges was Gail Gann, who is a famous chef in the Chicago area. And I remember she walked up to me before they had announced that I was the winner when there was like maybe they were down to the top 10. And she looked at me and she said, "So what's in your pie crust?" And I told her, I said, you know, flour, sugar, salt, butter, shortening, water. And she looked at me. She goes, "Oh, it was technique." And I said, "Yeah, that's right.
Of course.
Sometimes, you know, you don't have to put vodka in a pie crust to make it fantastic. You just need to put things together in the correct order and the correct way. And I can assure you my method is in the cookbook. So if you ever want to make a good pie, that's the pie crust.
Great. Lisa, thank you very much today. Bobby's got a couple things, and then I got a couple announcements, and it'll be time for us to start the next show. So go ahead, Bobby, make your couple announcements
before we
say goodbye to everybody.
Thank you, Lisa, for being on our show. You were fantastic. A good friend of mine, John Greikas, Chicago firefighter, 15 years. Actually, he has 24 years of service. He's the recipient of the Lambert Tree Award. He's married, two children. He needs assistance now. Whatever you can donate would be greatly appreciated. Nothing's too large or too small. Listeners, he is a tremendous man. Unfortunately, he has 30 days without work. He had an incident. Any donations you can afford to send them, please send it to the Chicago Firefighters Credit Union. For John Greikas, 6230 North Central Avenue, Chicago, 60638. Also, you can reach him at 773-581-5253. I want to thank our sponsors, Jennings Chevrolet, Abbott Painting, Flygard, and Denoit Keppard. Please contact me if you'd like to be a guest speaker or advertise on our show, or my partner, Artie. Thank you.
Bobby's number is 312-636-8400. My number is 773-746-7078. Next week, we have Friedman Design Group, Susie Friedman. Over 45 years. She's only 50 years old, Bobby. How does she start so young? But we'll ask her that next week.
She's amazing.
She's recognized the opportunity, her clients, professional, and we're going to ask her what this COVID-19 has done to her industry. Future guest, local spokesmodel for Deal or No Deal, number 9. We have the previous building commission engineer. We're going to talk about the Great Chicago Flood. Show on puppy scams, identity theft coming up. We have a retired Navy officer who wrote a couple books, and Little Ricky from I Love Lucy.
That's going to be fantastic.
So we have lots and lots of fun. Officer Friendly from CPD has promised to come on. A co-chair from Artisan Residence Program and a soprano singer, Figaro Figaro. Thank you, Devin.
Thank you, Bobby. Devin.
Thank you, Lisa. And we'll be here next week.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
The preceding program, Where Are They Now? With Art and Bobby, is sponsored by Arthur Andros and, to the extent applicable, his guests. The views and opinions expressed therein do not necessarily reflect those of NewsWeb Radio Company or its management.